Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. Hello, you guys. Yes, this is our second open forum for March, and we're so excited to hear from you on all the social media streams and also by your phone call. We have opened up all the phone lines just for you, so you can ask your questions about angels or demons or anything in between, and we're just going to hit the ground running as calls are coming in already, Adam, and we haven't even said the St. Michael prayer yet. So, Adam, please begin.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Adam, thank you so much. We already have the phones lighting up because this is our second open forum for March. And yes, you heard me correctly. We did two open forums this month because you asked if we could do that. There are many questions coming in and things on the chats and by way of direct message on Facebook and YouTube. And also you can the emails that are coming in. So we thought we would address as much as we can do during this very quick episode we have with one another on Saturdays. Thank you to Guadalupe Radio Network, heard all over the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So we've got a lot. We are covering a lot of moving parts to this show, but we're doing our very, very best. The show team is in place. We have senior producer Tim Mott. He's behind the controls doing a fabulous job. We've got Carol and Anna at the phones right now answering the calls that are coming in, and we would love for you to join them. You can ask a question that's really bothering you about a certain situation that's going on with a relationship or something of that nature, because we can always find a way to maybe give you some helpful advice or suggestions or wisdom on these topics, especially if it revolves around angels or demons and the spiritual the invisible world, I should say. Okay, so Adam, again, we're ready getting the chats going. They would like us to wave to everybody on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and Rumble. Please drop any of your comments or questions in the chats there, and Tim will happily retrieve those and get them on the show document. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. And really, we just would love for you to call in. So here's the number, drum roll, 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. Okay, Adam, we're hitting the ground running. You ready to go to our first caller?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, Tim, would you please welcome our very first caller to our second open forum for March?
Gladly, Debbie. Here is Terry from Houston, Texas, listening on AM 1430 on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Debbie. Well, I'm glad to hear that your eyes are better.
Thank you so much.
I called last week, as you remember, and y'all got a little quick answer in at the end of the program, I believe, about the friend of mine was going to go on ghost tour. And I told them, we were having dinner together. They mentioned it to me that they were going to go on vacation. They were going to do this. And I said, well, I wouldn't do it. And they said, why? And I couldn't really come up with a good answer other than the fact that I said, well, I don't think it's something that you should be doing. And they're, well, we're not going to talk to the spirits. We're just going to, like, if something shows up, that would be really cool. And I was like, nah, I'll pass, thanks. So just keep that one to yourself. But I want to know, how should I have responded to that? I mean, I did see him again, and I told him basically what Adam said last week, that it's a sin to do that. I said, I'm not telling you not to do it, but if you decide to do it, think about that while you're doing it, at least,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Terry, this comes up regularly, and it should, because it's so popular. So, I've watched the paranormal community from the beginning. I remember when the very first show aired, and it wasn't even a thing back then. Like, it wasn't a known thing, it wasn't popular, it wasn't cool, it wasn't on TV yet, and the shows were just starting. And I've known a number of the people that are on those shows over the years. And, you know, about a fifth to a quarter of the cases we deal with in terms of oppression and house cases come from ghost hunting. And ghost hunting, by the way, by the time somebody comes to the church with a house case, you know, disturbances in their home, almost always, well, I shouldn't say that, more than half the time, they have gone to a shaman, they've gone to the local occult shop, they've gone to paranormal groups, sometimes more than one, and had them come through. And we hear it the same down through the years, over and over and over and over. The ghost hunters come through and things get worse afterwards. And if there is anything truly serious there that the ghost hunters actually pick up on, if it's serious, they say, you need to get a priest, and they leave. Because the ghost hunters have no mechanism or tool to quote-unquote help people. So it's very kind of sad, and it makes things worse. So why is all that? Well, saints in heaven aren't going to draw you into something that the Bible forbids so vehemently. The Bible calls necromancy abhorrent to God. Necromancy specifically is calling the dead to talk to them. So, you know, asking for a sign of their presence is calling the dead and looking for some form of communication, whether it's knocking on the wall or speaking into a recorder. So the partly why that's probably so abhorrent to God is it is then linked to the first commandment, because you're turning to a created spirit for comfort, information, or power. Comfort about that there's life after death, information about the afterlife, that kind of thing. So if you're violating the first commandment by not putting God first and trusting God and loving God, you're saying to God, I'm not going to wait on you. I want my confirmation of the supernatural over here on my terms. That's not a saint in heaven. It's not a soul in purgatory, because you're engaging in something forbidden. And so you've got demons pretending to be dead people. And we've seen it over and over and over. They play nice in the beginning. They act like your grandmother or whatever, that'll make you drop your guard until you enter into an interaction and relationship. A few months later, it turns ugly. So basically inform their conscience, Terry. I appreciate the chance to cover this again, because it's going to be an ongoing issue for probably the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to try to communicate with them, and if something pops up, that's cool.
It's not. Because, Terry, again, anything that popped up isn't anything good, because it's in the context of necromancy. So if you're going there and just observing, you're actually saying to those demons, I'm interested in you because I'm waiting to see if you do something. So you've already entered into the beginning of a relationship just by saying, I want to go be a willing witness to this. So it's actually problematic. You really just should avoid it entirely. Pray for the poor souls in purgatory. Pray for the people that are ghost hunting, that they wake up to it. So many have woken up to it, because after they get into trouble, they always say, I'm quitting this. I'm never doing it again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, pray for those people, but don't go and watch.
Okay, Terry, thank you so much for calling back and addressing this, because I agree with Adam. We need to share this again and again so people are aware of what's going on with people's activities. Sound good, Terry? Thank you. Okay. All right, we're going to get to Joe next, and Joe is in San Antonio, Texas, listening also on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hello. How are y'all doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. We're doing well, sir. You go right ahead.
Yes. I was listening last week, and the show was basically on prophecy. So what does the church think about Nostradamus? Basically, he had two main things that I remember as a kid growing up. The first topic was about World War II and Hitler, and he had mentioned his name. I think he got it wrong by a letter. Mm-hmm. And the second prophecy was about the 1963 case of John Kennedy and the assassination, and how there was more than one shooter. I don't remember exactly the wording that he had, but basically he said they were going to miss the person who shot and blame a different person or something like that.
Well, Joe, you know what? You're on a speakerphone, so we're getting a little bit of a echo there. So I think we've got the gist of your question, and so why don't you listen to this and the listeners as well as we go back and forth and really unpacking this. So Nostradamus, when you're talking about the quatrains where they try to dissect the line by line if he has predicted something. This was in the 1500s. The reason why he gets so much attention as a seer is because of his Catholic upbringing. Anytime somebody is Catholic, automatically people think that there may be some, it may be valid or legitimate or authentic. And you have to be very careful with that. You have to look at the method that he used, what exactly he said, what he did, what he relied on. And that's where all the problems are. If you go with it's in the details that is a very, very, we cannot accept that, and for many reasons. And I'll let Adam go ahead and go into more depth on that. But the reason why Nostradamus, they tried to, and you were right about the whole prediction of World War II and everything, he got one letter off. So they said, oh, it's close enough in this quatrain and this and that. But, you know, that happens a lot, Adam, with these seers. They get, you know, 50% right. And so then they try to expand it and say, oh, well, this must be authentic because they got this part right. You know, all the rest of it is wrong. It's completely wrong. But no, they got this tiny. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, Adam, but I mean, if you ask me to predict something, you know, you got a 50% chance you're gonna predict it correctly, and 50%, you know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit odd when we do that. I think one of the reasons why Nostradamus gets such a pass by so many Christians is because of his Catholic upbringing. What do you say? But I would be very careful to even go even near it, because I find it to be very troubling and very misleading, Adam.
Yeah, so divination is forbidden for Catholics. I think you could make a strong argument, we don't have time, based on Scripture, that it's forbidden for all Christians that are Bible-believing and following the living Word of God. Why is that? Well, we're supposed to pray and then trust in God's providence, right? So pray for a good outcome, pray for peace, pray for health, whatever it is, but then we need to accept God's providence and His will in our lives. We are supposed to work hard and work towards peace and all of that. You don't just sit back and say, okay, I'm not going to do anything. You work towards those things, but you don't try to divine the future. So divination is strongly prohibited because it shows a lack of reliance and trust on God once we've done what we can do. The other thing is, you know, real prophecy, when you talk about it biblically, and let's take Fatima because it's one most people know about. You know, there's a message that she says the world has really fallen away from God, and, you know, it's World War I, and if the world doesn't straighten up spiritually, there's going to be a worse war, and this is going to be the sign for it on the eve before it happens, and that happened. The sky turned blood red because the Aurora Borealis came down into Europe that night. So prophecy, the point of it is to correct God's people and encourage them to straighten up in some way, else consequences happen. Prophecy isn't just, oh, and next week you're going to win the lottery. That's not a prophecy. That's just divination of the future, or a claimed divination of the future. So the one serves a purpose of drawing people closer to God. The other is just, I'm randomly telling you what's going to happen next week. That's not prophecy.
Right. And the other thing, too, is keep in mind, like you are talking about Nostradamus, Joe. He relied heavily on horoscopes and occult methods in order to achieve the predictions. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other big piece. I don't recall the exact stuff, but I remember the old document, you know, the old kind of goofy documentaries in the 70s and 80s that would go over this, you know, to get on TV. You know, him with some kind of cauldron and, you know, doing some kind of ritual and staring into things, kind of like the crystal ball thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember the exact details. They're not important because it's divination. So a lot of people will blend the occult with Christianity, with Catholicism. You know, there's syncretism that goes on, and it's inevitably problematic. So
right. Hope that helps, Joe. Joe, any quick comments? Because we're going to go to break in just about 45 seconds. Anything, Joe?
No, I don't. I mean, that is a really good explanation. Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. It sounds like you're in the car, so drive safely. Okay, we're going to hit that pause button in just a moment. We do have one open phone line because Joe just freed that line there at 877-757-9424. This is our second open forum for the month of March. We won't do this type of show again until, maybe even after Easter. I don't know, because we got Divine Mercy, Adam. So probably the second weekend of April. So a couple weeks away. So if you have a question to ask, please do so now, because we don't want you to miss out on that. And Adam and I, we would love for you to join the family on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. And we will be right back.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua for finding love, and many more as well. To see which Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Many evangelicals see this passage as an indication that baptism is not necessary for salvation. But is this true? The answer is no, and here are some reasons why. First, I don't think Paul meant, "I don't have authorization to baptize." If that were true, well, then he would have acted in disobedience when he baptized Crispus, Gaius, and the household of Stephanus, which he tells us about in the preceding verses. But we don't want to say that. It's more likely Paul was being hyperbolic in order to stress, one, the focus of his ministry, which was to preach, and two, it doesn't matter by whom you're baptized, which was the topic of discussion within context. Is Paul denying the necessity of baptism? I don't think so. I'm Carlo Broussard with The Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
So I just got confirmation that next Saturday for the Spirit World, we'll be talking all about the Mass, the Holy Mass. So that is wonderful. We're gonna unpack the Mass and the deeper layers that we can enter into the most beautiful prayer in our church. So the Mass is all. That's going to be the focus for next Saturday, the Spirit World. Okay, and then folks were asking, when is the next open forum? It's not going to be till April 12th, so that'll be a couple weeks. So if you want to ask a question and it's really pressing about something that's going on in your family, and you think that somebody in your family may be possessed or something of that nature, this is the show to call in today, because we can definitely, or Adam can definitely explain why that's not usually the case. Okay, you can also email us if it's a longer story, and that makes it easier for all of us here, because we do have a full show team in place, and we have the lines are just blowing up with questions. So we're going to get back to the calls in just a moment. You can always email us at tsw@grnonline.com. Okay, I took care of all the housekeeping, Adam, and let's go to our dear friend Deacon Paul in Santa Barbara, California on GRN Online. Hi, Deacon.
Hi, good morning. How are you both?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good, good. My question is, I know the apostolic succession that goes on with the church and the relationship with the bishops to the apostles. My question being is that if there is a bishop who does not believe in the existence of the devil or encounters a demonic or possession, would the bishop be under attack more so than a bishop that would believe in the existence of the evil one.
What do you mean under attack? You mean in the encounter or after in their life?
Yeah, in an encounter. Sorry.
That's an interesting question. I think it would vary a lot depending on the case, the spirit that you're dealing with, and the individual clergy. So I don't think you can give a simple answer to that. Would they know that the person is not a believer? Probably, and they would probably say that to them and try to use it to humiliate them in front of everybody and kind of take away their confidence. So it would actually probably be a faith-building moment for somebody if somebody were to go into this, and I get those questions all the time. Oh, I want to go to an exorcism because I want to see that if it's real and then I'll have faith. Mm-hmm. That's not what an exorcism is for. This is a prayer to help this poor suffering person. It's not there as a display, for other people to just exploit and benefit from. Anyway, soapbox there, sorry. So would it add some difficulty? For sure, because they watch us, and they certainly watch bishops and clergy, and they would know from watching the person whether they really have faith or not. They would probably be pretty good at judging that, having watched humanity from the beginning. So yeah, and in my experience, Deacon, and I'm not speaking about any bishops. I actually have not encountered a situation where I knew a bishop didn't have faith, but I have encountered many clergy that, for whatever reason, I didn't ask them why, but they said, that's not me. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in the room, whatever it might be. So, some people, maybe they have doubts or they wonder about their previous lives, maybe sins in their lives that they're afraid of being brought up or they feel some strong reaction. But I've seen that a lot where people will just avoid the situation entirely. So I'm sorry I can't give you a simple answer to that.
No, I appreciate that. At least I understand a little bit more about the apostolic succession, also that it can happen to anybody as far as clergy or as far as bishops are concerned. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and the other thing, Deacon, another wrinkle just to think of theologically, remember exorcism is a sacramental, and so yes, the efficacy of it is in proportion to the faith with which it is used. So the faith of the people doing the exorcism matters in that sense. Now, a bishop would have apostolic authority and be able to give commands and expect to be obeyed, but their personal faith in some way that only God knows would also play a role, because it's not a sacrament with guaranteed action. It's a sacramental.
Okay. Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate it. Both you and Debbie. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deacon. Thank you so much for being a loyal listener and supporter of the Spirit World. We so appreciate it. Okay. So Deacon just freed that phone line. If you have a question about angels or demons or anything in between, 877-757-9424. And Tim, our senior producer, I think we're going out of the country to Canada. Could you please welcome our next caller, please?
This is Stephanie listening on EWTN Online from Toronto, Canada. Stephanie, you are on the air.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Adam. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question on attacks on the body from the dark side, because I understand our body is the temple of the Lord. And my Lenten intention was to say the rosary more, get closer to God, and take care of my health and my body by also doing that. Anyways, I become sick this month, had to go to hospital a few times. I was quite scared this week, had a blood transfusion a couple of days ago. And I've been trusting God, but going through this, I keep feeling I was being attacked. And I don't know if that's in my head or it's designed to challenge what my Lenten intention was, the fact that it happened during Lent. Can you speak about that?
Sure,
Adam. It was a very low point. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You go first, Adam.
So Stephanie, first off, I'm sorry that you're going through that. I know it can be scary when we get really sick in life. So one of the things that I see a lot, I get a lot of these calls or emails from people, is things have gone badly lately. This, this, and this has all happened within a year. you know, I think I'm under a curse or I think I'm under demonic attack. And when it comes to health issues, those are not normally the kinds of attacks on the body that we see in demonic oppression. So first off, just because you're praying more and you have a good intention in Lent doesn't open the door to extraordinary attacks from a demon. Now, God can allow things, but then you're talking about things like Padre Pio's situation, very advanced state, saint, very close to God, and allowed to undergo extraordinary trials. And we see that when people are very close to God. Those of us living out here in the world, we're not often in that situation. So that's hyper rare, okay? Usually things like this, it's just you got sick. And what we tend to do as human beings, we tend to conclude in our thinking that it's causation when it's just correlation. That's a very common human thinking error that we make. And I'm not criticizing you, I'm just saying from a psychological perspective. So, you know, to draw those together and then add the layer of fear that it might be demonic, I don't think it's warranted. If it was demonic oppression, it typically takes different physical forms on the body. And Stephanie, this is the important part, it wouldn't just happen because you're praying during Lent. It would be the person who's involved in black magic, some form of divination, hardcore mm-hmm. New Age stuff, the ghost hunting, you know, getting really into that, opening the door that way. That's what would lead to like scratches and bites on the body, not somebody who's praying a lot.
So
go ahead,
Adam, let me just ask you this question. You can hear the emotion in mm-hmm. Stephanie's voice. It's very heavy on her. This resistance, this coming at her is really obviously taking a bit of an emotional toll to some level. What do you suggest for Stephanie so that she can feel at peace and have the joy and continue the rest of her Lenten journey?
Well, just Stephanie, you know, just the practical, simple things, of course. Follow the medical route, try to be at peace in the demonic aspect, to let that go, because you're adding additional stress to yourself, which weakens the body, we know, and it makes it harder to heal and get better, because stress, you know, cortisol and all that, it's hard on the body. I would, of course, get the anointing of the sick if it's a very serious illness. See if your parish priest is willing to do that. Get that sacramental grace. And, you know, if there's healing masses in your diocese, you could go to those just for general healing. I would do that too.
What about regular use of holy water? Would you speak mm-hmm. about that? Because that brings, I know, especially for so many of us as Catholic Christians, a tremendous amount of comfort.
Yeah, you can use sacramentals, particularly the blessed olive oil that is sometimes around and available. So scripturally, we know that... and I forget where the verse is exactly, but scripturally we know when a person is sick, they're supposed to go to the community and be blessed by the leaders of the community with blessed olive oil. And that's what we typically see, like when we see healing oil. It's not chrism, it's blessed olive oil. So as long as it's legit and you're sure it's blessed, you can use those, make the sign of the cross on yourself with a, you know, touching your finger to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say be at peace in terms of the spiritual angle and just, you know, address it as best you can medically and try to let that go, that fear.
Does that help, Stephanie?
Wonderful. Yes. You know, I feel at peace. That's great. And thank you so much for saying all those things.
Absolutely. You take care. You could take care. And just know, I brought the prayer book out, so I'm putting everybody in the prayer book as well. Okay. Let's see. Tim, you want to squeeze one more caller in before the break? Sound good to you, Tim?
Yes. James from Pensacola, Florida, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network, has a similar question.
Okay. Hello, James.
Hey there, Debbie. Is Adam, it's good to hear from y'all today.
Yes.
I've been having a hard time trying to get on the, you know, your other show that comes on during the week. Mm-hmm. But all you guys have been, you know, praying for my eyes here mm-hmm. lately.
Yes.
But I have a testimony I want to share with you. Last time I went to the eye doctor, I looked at the chart, and I was able to see on the second line all the letters except for one, and see with my other glasses, I couldn't be able to do that at all. And so what happened was I went from 2,400 down to 2,200 as far as my sight goes. And I just want to give God the praise and glory for that.
Mm, wow.
Great.
That's great, James. That is awesome. You know, it's always wonderful to honor and praise God and to do it publicly on a worldwide platform, James. I think you brought a great delight to heaven. Thank you so much, James, for sharing that. And we've got you in the prayer book. You are definitely a permanent person in the prayer book. And so keep us posted. And God bless you. And thank you for calling into the spirit world. Okay, James is going to free that phone line for you to get a call in for this open forum. The next one's not going to be for a couple weeks. So 877-757-9424 is the number to call. And we'll be right back.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus encounters a rich young man who seems very serious about following him. But when the wealthy young man is confronted with the need for total detachment from his possessions, he is saddened. He cannot go through with it. Discipleship is not comfortable. It is costly. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is both the easiest and the hardest thing we will ever do. Easy, because we were created for friendship with him. Hard, because we need to deny our own ways and opinions and live a countercultural witness to the kingdom. Through our free will, we choose to follow him. Through his church, we are equipped. And by his grace, he will see us home with him.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Stand Tall is now offering advanced group coaching sessions with master coaches highly trained in life skills. Visit standtalltoday.com and register for one of our upcoming group coaching events. These virtual opportunities are designed to take you to the next level of life in your relationships, career, faith walk, and so much more. Space is limited. Hurry to standtalltoday.com and sign up for one of our advanced group coaching sessions. standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, a little bit more housekeeping before we get back to the phones. We're getting a lot of messages. They'd like to know our April calendar so they can. I love the Spirit World listeners and followers, Adam, because they want to set their calendars so they can make sure they don't miss the Spirit World. So next Saturday, we're going to be talking all about the Mass. And yes, it's going to be a wonderful show. You're not going to be able to call in next Saturday. You're going to listen because we really have a really wonderful presentation on the Mass. Okay. And then the week after that would be open phone lines, April 12th. That'll be open phone lines. And that's the open forum that we're only going to do one for April because it is Holy Week, right? And so then the following week, the 19th, will obviously be Holy Saturday. And Adam and I feel very, very committed to always being live with our listeners during the holy days. So Holy Saturday, we will be with you live on the 19th. And then the 26th, of course, we're talking all about Divine Mercy. Okay, so that's the April calendar. So you can put that on your refrigerators and put the number as well, 877-757-9424. And Tim Mott, our senior producer, he'll post the April calendar on Facebook. Okay, so you guys will have that. That would be wonderful. And you can like us there at the Spirit World Podcast. All also, everybody on the chats, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, you're doing a great job with all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much. We've got comments coming in about yoga, also about that some people feel like their family members and friends are possessed because they're making really bad choices and acting very strange. So we'll try to squeeze that in and have Adam address that as well. No more breaks today, so that's wonderful. Want to just also say congratulations, Adam and I really want to say congratulations to all the affiliates that had their pledge drives this week. It was just wonderful week of listeners coming together and making pledges to support Catholic Radio. Guadalupe Radio Network had a successful pledge drive that just ended last night. There's still time, I'm sure, for all of the stations to get your pledges in online. So please go online and make pledges to your local listening area. And please don't, please do not forget to thank them for all of their hard work. So many, it's based on volunteers. And then also please remember EWTN, because we're heard on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Okay, I think I covered everything, Adam. And back to the phones we shall go. And Tim, our next caller, please.
Anna from Jackson, Michigan, listening on Good Shepherd Radio. You are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hi, Anna.
Hello, Debbie and Adam. I have a question that I haven't had answered for 65 years. In Pennsylvania, 65 years, on March 8th, I was thinking about my dad. I was a novice in an active contemplative order, and I had no contact with the outside world, no family, no friends. And I had been thinking about my dad, and we weren't supposed to be thinking about our family. I was up in the community room crying at 5 to 1 and not knowing why. I went down for adoration. Bell rang at 5 to 1, and I was doing a spiritual reading, the life of St. Gemma Galgani. Mm-hmm. And I was reading the part where she was in the hospital and her brother came to see her, and she said, "Our Lord required of me this sacrifice." And I kept repeating that over and over, "Our Lord required of me this sacrifice," and I started to cry. And I said to myself, my dad died. Mm-hmm. My dad was 54 years old. He did have minor's asthma. And I got a tap on the shoulder from a postulant to go to see the novice mistress. And she said to me, "I have bad news for you, sister. And I said, "I know, my dad died." And she said, "No, your dad is dying." But when I got home, the obituary said, and I've never seen this in an obituary before, that my dad died at 1 o'clock. And I've wanted this question answered for so many years. How did I know? Mm-hmm. How did I know that mm-hmm. he died?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and answer first my thoughts on this, and then Adam will go ahead and clean up anywhere that I messed up. But let me share this. I studied angels for many, many years. And one thing that I think so many of us forget is there's a whole network on the other side of the veil working. Okay, I mean, just like we're here working away and communicating with each other on this side of the veil, they're doing the same thing. And then they're also ministering to us as well. Okay, so it doesn't surprise me, and I actually have heard your story before, sort of similar to your story, but I've heard this before. And if you're asking me my opinion on this, is that the angels are in communication. So your dad's angel and your angel, they're in communication. And if God allows you to be able to be privy to that, he's going to do it for some reason, out of comfort or for knowledge or for wisdom or for understanding. And so it doesn't shock me at all. I hope you have a close relationship with your guardian angel, because that just tells me that for 65 years, you have been, you have a guardian angel that is very active in your life. So that would be my answer. I would love to hear what Adam has to say.
Yeah. So this kind of thing, and I've heard many times over the years, you're not alone. This has happened to many people. The version I've more often heard is the person sleeping.
Right.
They sit up in bed, wide awake. They see their mom or their dad standing there, you know, in the room. They say something like, I'm fine, everything's going to be okay, and they're gone.
Right.
And then they find out the next day that they died at that very minute. That has happened to lots of people. Now, why would God do that? Well, one, he's connected us through family bonds that are involve the sacrament of marriage. They're strong connections between us. But I think also we can get a clue from the way the poor souls in purgatory have appeared to many saints to ask for prayers. And that's not necromancy. You're not calling the dead to talk to them. They're appearing on their own and asking for prayers to speed their time in purgatory. And by the way, Anna, the most common places I've seen over the years that have poor souls manifesting in them are rectories, convents, and churches. Monasteries too, because God allows a manifestation usually just to the people that know how to pray, that know how to properly respond. And that makes sense. Why would they appear and, you know, give the clue I need prayers if somebody doesn't really know about prayer? There you were in a contemplative order. You're, sounds like you were certainly in a state of grace. You're praying, you're going to adoration. What a beautiful time to pray for your father, right? So I would take it as that was an opportunity to pray for him, and it was a special grace you received.
Exactly.
Now, before, let's head this off at the pass. The place to be careful, and this didn't happen to you, Anna, but there's thousands out there that need to hear this. The visitation at the moment of death has happened to a lot of people. But it's not about, let's have a conversation, let's have an ongoing relationship, now I'm going to be with you and tell you how to live your life and help you through the rest of your life. That's not how things work. That is a trick, and I've seen that trick many times. So if it's one brief visitation and it ends up lining up and you never hear from them again, that's probably a poor soul or a soul on their way to heaven. Right? But if something wants to then live with you and start being your companion, that's not your departed loved one.
Right. So I think we agree that it was a grace and a gift, Anna. What do you say?
Yep.
It was a great grace. I've been grateful for it. I'm almost 85, and all these years I've been grateful for that grace, but I never understood really what happened. But since you've been talking about angels lately, I have been wondering if it was a meeting between his guardian angel and my guardian angel.
Yeah. I mean, they're working. I mean, when we get to see the network that is working, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, just look. I always use this as an example. Look at an LA freeway. I mean, if you look in an LA freeway, you've got to realize that the angels are working, and they have their network is very, it functions very well. Okay, because there should be many more accidents in LA or any other freeway that's packed, and it's not, because remember, they have been given the mission to minister to us over parishes, over communities, over the weather. I mean, it goes on and on, the layers of how God has allowed the angels and wants the angels to be active. Anna, you're such a beautiful soul. I hope this really brought peace to you today.
Yeah, God bless you, Anna.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to get back to the phones in just a moment. I want to just share this because I did mention it, so now we need to address it. We are getting a lot of emails of folks calling in saying that they feel that their loved one, their adult child, or their spouse may be possessed because they're acting strangely. And Adam, why don't you just go ahead and clear this up once and for all, because we have to address the fact that people have choices, free will, and a lot of people these days are making really bad choices.
Yeah. So because of the plethora of videos about exorcism and the exorcist telling stories, people are getting the mistaken impression that these extraordinary demonic problems, including possession, are happening all over the place. It's, you know, it seems like people have the impression it's as common as a sore tooth or something. This is incredibly rare. So, and what do I mean by rare? I mean, typically 1 to 3 new genuine cases of possession coming forward in an entire year in an entire city. Okay, so you're talking hundreds of thousands or millions of people, and out of those, maybe a little more than three, but typically for us, you know, one to three at the most in an entire year. So it's incredibly rare. Just because somebody's not acting the way we want them to act doesn't mean they're possessed. And secondly, the follow-up thing is, well, go do an exorcism and make them behave the way I want them to. The church doesn't do exorcisms against people's will. Exorcism is a prayer that a person comes to the church and says, I'm having this trouble, please pray for me in this special way. And then the church tries to evaluate it, encourages them to rule out the medical, because that's so much more common in the psychological, and then the church prays for them. We don't go kick the door down and hold somebody down and do an exorcism because their relatives told us to. Mm-hmm. I know that's obvious, and it's silly to say it that way, but this is super common. So if you're worried about a spiritual problem, they need to ask for the help. You can pray for them, but it's almost never possession. You know, there's lots of reasons we get ornery and behave in not the best ways as human beings.
How about this? Seek out a good Catholic counselor or life coach to help you along with these choices and relationship issues. What do you say?
That can be helpful too. Yeah. But a lot of times people are just living their lives the way they want to live them, and the person may not want help themselves. So, you know, you talking with your pastor, your priest, Catholic counselor, that type of thing, maybe you could get some perspective on it. But again, we can't force the person to go to counseling. I know that's obvious, but we need to relax about this whole possession thing, because it's incredibly rare. It's not the answer, you know, to every problem in life.
It's probably our number one email we get, where people will tell us a story that's going on in their home and with their relationships, and they'll ask if this person possibly could be possessed. So I'm glad, Adam, you addressed it again. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones. And Tim, our next caller, please.
We have two Roses hanging on hold right now. We're going to go to Rose in Elmira, New York, listening on Station of the Cross. Rose, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hello, Rose.
Hi, Deb. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Adam. Real quick, my niece is doing exactly what you said, syncretism. She's a practicing Catholic, has her house blessed down four times, but she also reads tarot cards and goes to mediums. So for the years now, she already saw the dead relatives, and we've progressed to things flying out of cabinets across the room and stuff. And now she has workmen and an accountant that ran out of her house the last few months because they're seeing spirits. She doesn't want to give this up, but I am concerned because, as you said right for the first caller, it progresses. So I'm concerned about her daughter and her husband. Her daughter is baptized, and her husband is Jewish but non-practicing. So are they in danger?
Yeah, so sadly, Rose and Deb, I think you know this, this type of situation is really common. If they don't want help, and it sounds like you've already talked with them and tried to convey that this is problematic, and if they're just saying, like, I know better, you know, my medium told me this is fine or whatever, basically what I can tell you usually happens, because we deal with it when the person finally comes for help, is it progresses and gets worse and worse and worse over time, and then eventually it's complete, you know, almost completely destroyed the person's life, and then they say, oh my gosh, maybe this isn't a good thing after all, and then they come and ask for help, and they're willing to make the changes. Sadly, that's often the pattern. I'm not wishing for it to get worse for them, but you know, you can think of it, there's analogies like drinking. You know, let's say a person's drinking and they're drinking heavier, and now it starts to interfere with work, and eventually they get a DUI, and then they get another, and now they're doing 2 weeks in the county.
It's like scared straight.
Yeah, eventually the consequences for our bad choices get so severe that we kind of wake up at some point.
Exactly.
And in the alcohol world, you call that hitting rock bottom. There's a point usually where a person kind of snaps out of it and says, oh, I'm going to end up dead. I need to stop this. So when it comes to the spiritual stuff, unfortunately, that's usually how it goes. The person's kind of deluded and saying, I know better, until they realize they're not in control and it's not actually good. So you can pray for their conversion. Pray for them to wake up before it really gets bad, but it may have to get bad. Now, are other people in danger because of their practices? Basically, yes, their children are, especially if they're living in the house. Because if stuff's flying out of the cabinets, you know, that's going to be scaring the people that are living in the house. It doesn't mean they're going to have spiritual attachments themselves unless they also do these practices, but being around the manifestation is scary and disruptive.
And then real quickly, Rose, share this broadcast, this episode with her, and let her hear Adam and explain to her who Adam is and what he does on a regular basis. You know, then maybe if she gains more knowledge and understanding, she'll have that clarity so she can move in a better direction. Also, I would suggest going to womenofgrace.com. Okay, Sue Brinkman has done a fabulous job unpacking all these different areas on her blog and articles. And there, again, more information you can give to your niece. So that's womenofgrace.com. I highly suggest that.
Yeah.
But let her listen to this episode, Rose. What do you say?
Sounds good to me. I was just afraid because it's been going on for years. Now she's been allowing this to happen, and she goes to a medium to stop the things at her house. And I try to tell her it's just temporary.
That's a bad cycle she's in. Yeah, but okay. Well, I hope that's enough information for you today. And keep us posted. I've got her in the prayer book. Okay, we'll be praying as well. Thank you so much, Rose, for calling in. I'm going to try to do this, Tim. Squeeze in one more call. You pick the call. We've had several on the lines waiting. So, Tim, take it away.
So many good ones. But we're going to go to Lou from Queens, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Thank you for your patience, Lou. You are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hey, Lou, you got to go fast, though. We're racing against the clock.
Very fast. I was watching a podcast, and Mel Gibson got the go-ahead to do the resurrection of the Christ starting this summer. They were discussing a scene where Lucifer gets banished to hell with a third of the angels and wondering what language they could use to convey conversations between Lucifer and God and the angels.
Oh, that's interesting, Lou. I like that question. Adam, real quickly, though, the show's going to run out.
Yeah, so basically we don't know, Lou, in terms of whether there's an actual language. There probably isn't, because language, kind of by definition, is a series of noises we make with our mouths that are interpreted as words to convey what I'm thinking. Well, angels don't have bodies. Lucifer doesn't have a body. And it's Satan, right? Adversary. Doesn't have a body. So, and God, of course, can do whatever he wants, but God is spirit. So it wouldn't make sense that they would need to rely on a language and stringing a series of words together to communicate. It's beyond our understanding, but it's probably something more akin to just direct mind-to-mind, spirit-to-spirit communication of complete ideas, not what we're doing right now, which is a very clunky, limited, slow way of trying to convey ideas, because mm-hmm. we're in bodies.
Okay, Lou, we'll have to leave it there because you're going to hear the music in just a few minutes. And this is where Adam and I, we get so sad about this. We tried to go as fast as we possibly could. And I want to say I'm so sorry that we're not going to get to you today. And that it will be Rebecca in Iowa and Javier in San Antonio, Texas, Rose in Boston, Massachusetts, Mike in Rochester, New York. And there's still more coming in. So please, we're going to ask our wonderful show team, Carol and Anna, to pick up the phones and maybe get their questions or comments for a future mailbag edition. Wow, what a quick show today, Adam. We were committed at the beginning of the show to go as fast as we possibly can, and I just wish we had more time, but we don't. So we are literally always racing against the clock on Saturday. I don't like to ever cut anybody off, and we certainly don't want a half sentence, so that's why we try to fit everything in, and we've got an amazing senior producer, Tim Mott, who keeps us all functioning well. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, everybody, we do try to go fast, but we're not going to race and skimp over things, right? So we're trying to give as full and complete answers as we can, and just bear with us.
Absolutely. Okay, so next Saturday, it's a wonderful episode on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and we're going to really go into the Mass in a deep way for our Spirit World listeners. Thank you so much for liking us on Facebook. Many have joined the family this morning at the Spirit World Podcast. Thank you again to our show team, Carol and Anna. Thank you, Tim, doing just a fine job at Guadalupe Radio Network, heard on the wonderful EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Okay, that'll do it. It's a wrap. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.